building his church. Because we're part of that, right? We're part of God's church and we get to build it. So last week we heard the call to build the church. And remember that we are the church, like the people, right? It's not the building. It's not about bricks and wood so much as it is about people and character. We're not talking about a location. And here at Five Corners, our vision is to develop leaders. And out of that overflow, we will reach families in our community with the gospel so that they can know him too. And last week, Pastor Dave talked about the first message in Haggai, that we're to give careful thought to our ways, to get working for God, and desire his glory above all else. And we were left with this challenge. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Don't be distracted by other things around us. Don't leave it for the years to come when things are a little quieter maybe. But build the church today. Jesus has freed us from captivity to fulfill his purposes. He longs for us to serve him here, in loving obedience, losing our life even for him, losing our priorities. So, we're going to read the new passage in Haggai, but before we do that, we're going to have our first small group discussion question. I wish I had a gong. Boom! We really need to buy one. Maybe you can put it in the budget. I'll ask the board. They'll probably say no. Anyways, discussion question number one. If you break into small groups, about 4 to 6 people with the people around you, I would like you to share a story about a time when you gave up on a project, maybe almost before it got off the ground, and then think about, in hindsight, looking back, do you regret not seeing it through? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe it was a terrible project that you shouldn't have started, but maybe you did. All right, so in groups of small groups, 4 to 6 people, take a few minutes, share a story. Share a story. All right, as you're wrapping up your groups, remember you'll get a chance at the end to talk together some more. I'm so glad we have a church that loves to share stories with each other, that loves to embrace each other and welcome each other into our lives. I can honestly tell you there is nowhere else that I would rather be today than here with you, because you are such a great family to us, and we love being part of your family. I hope you had some fun stories to share there. You know, don't use any of them evilly. I know for me, I had a fun moment like this where I was faced with my past was not the same as my present. When we were newly married, I decided I needed to do something more active because I wanted to be active. And I'd been really like athletic, done a lot of sports in high school and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm going to play soccer again. I played soccer competitively before. I'm going to join a women's team. And it'll be great. It'll be, like, really fun. So I joined this team, and I'm, like, 23. And it's, like, an under-30 team, so I thought it'd be okay. I get there. I'm the oldest person on the team. And even though I was still doing a lot and running a bit and all that, it was like we would play the game, and the ball would be there. And in my head, I was already at the ball. But in reality, I was still over here and hadn't actually run there yet because my brain was not the same as the reality of my athletic ability at this point. So it was so humbling and exhausting, but still was fun in the end. But I learned if you don't keep playing soccer, it wears off really fast. But that's okay. We can have fun, and I've still enjoyed playing it, and now I coach my kids' teams, and that's really fun. So God never wastes anything. He just changes it and uses it for his good plan and his good purpose in whatever season you happen to be in. And that's okay. Now, last week, we were saying at the end of the first message from Haggai, you know, God's people had started building the temple after returning from captivity. They've been gone for like 50 years. But they obeyed God. They gathered the resources. They started to work on the foundations. And when they laid the foundations, half of the people were so excited, joyously shouting. Half the people were weeping. And the work had eventually come to a grinding halt, and the people were just discouraged and unhappy. And you might wonder why. Well, it's because it wasn't as glorious as the previous temple used to be before it was destroyed. Remember, the temple that destroyed was Solomon's temple, one of the wonders of the world. Humongous, gold everywhere. It was incredible. But this one was smaller. It didn't look like much yet. And the people who had been there before, who had seen Solomon's temple, not like the younger people because they'd been born in captivity, and this was great. They're like, come on, we have a temple. We're not in captivity anymore. This is amazing. Finally, we have a place to worship God again. But the people who had seen what was before destroyed and then come back again, it was like too much. They were weeping because they remembered how glorious it was in the past. It was also really hard for them because their enemies were persecuting them, distracting them from their work, sending armies against them to harass them and make it so that they couldn't do the work. You can read about it in Ezra. It's really, really interesting. And it just had felt hopeless for them, I think. They look at what they've started and they think, well, it's not that great. Surely it's never going to be like it was again. Surely it's never going to be good enough for us to worship God. So let's read, though, what the prophet Haggai said, giving them God's word. It's in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Haggai 2, 1 to 9. It says this, "Then on October 17th of that same year, the Lord sent another message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, and hear this, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken." That's a pretty awesome word to hear from God. We heard a little bit echoed this morning in Joan's word, and that was really cool. God says, be strong. Be strong. Do not be afraid. And what I'm going to do will be greater than what was in the past. The best is yet to come. Now, all of us, we're part of God's church. And we're part of building God's church today. And I know we've all felt disappointment at times. You might feel disappointed now, or you might just feel maybe tired or harassed or like it's just not working. But we work, and the work that we do is always for God. Whether it feels like we're working and working and nothing is happening, or if it seems like we're just pouring ourselves out and the fruit is so small, everything that we're doing for God matters, because nothing we do for God is ever wasted. You might find yourself like those people back then, looking back on good old days and remembering how stunning they were. Maybe you're thinking of a period when the church was just thriving and everywhere the Christians were on fire for God and they were so joyful and people were getting saved all around you and there was just baptisms and evangelists would just have to speak about Jesus and share the gospel and everyone would get saved. And sometimes it seems like everyone's going through a dry season or that the church isn't getting bigger, it's getting smaller. Sometimes it's hard to feel joyful. Sometimes we start to compare. We look for glory in other places. We think that, oh, maybe so-and-so is doing better than we are. Or maybe so-and-so, if they would just speak here, then it would work a lot better. or you see someone who's just so good at sharing their faith with the people around them, and everybody always seems to listen to them, and you always get that door slam or that, oh yeah, I'll think about it. But I want to encourage you this morning that the Bible promises us that God loves us, He's with us, and we should never give up. Because even Paul the Apostle, who wrote half of the New Testament, said, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, then I am strong. Not because somehow weakness is actually strength, but because the Holy Spirit moves, and we pray like crazy, right? Don't we, when we're like out of our depth? We pray a lot more. We hold on to Jesus, and we let him do his work through us. So God comforts the people in Haggai's time. He uses him as God's messenger to encourage them. God said, I am with you. The word that God used for himself there, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of Heaven's armies, that's a pretty powerful title for yourself. If anybody on earth was going to use a title like that, that would be heresy, obviously. But it would really kind of shock you. You'd be like, what? But when God says about himself the truth, I am the Lord of Heaven's armies, that's quite a good picture for us. It's quite a good visual about the power and strength that can't even be measured that God has always. He's not like idols. He's the true living God who has ultimate actual control over absolutely everything. And this is the God who is with you. This is the God who says he loves you. This is the God who says, don't give up. The power of God is shown in his presence with you. Even in spite of the people not having a temple, God's presence was still with them then. And it's not just like at arm's length over there, but God wants to have a deep personal relationship with us. God and people together. He promises that the greatest encouragement he can give us is his presence. Because when God is with you, well, nothing else really matters. It doesn't matter if you have what you need or things are going great. If you really feel that God is with you and you feel his comfort and his joy, like you could basically be on fire and it wouldn't really matter as much because God is with you. We see that all through the Bible. Exodus 3, Moses is at the burning bush. God says, I am with you. And then, woo! Joshua 1:9. When he takes over leadership of Israel, God says, I am with you. Luke chapter 1, to Mary, called to be the mother of the Son of God. You want to talk about intimidating. God sends an angel to say, I am with you. Matthew 28, at the end of the Great Commission, Jesus has died and rose again. His word to everyone is, go, tell everyone, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Haggai refers to God 14 times in this prophecy as the Lord Almighty, the God who commands the armies of heaven. What do you think that would have had, like what effect would that have had on such a discouraged nation that felt too weak for the task before them? We know that that same God, the Lord Almighty, is the very same living God who is with us right now, right now. And that can change our perspective in our local church community, and in our own personal faith journey. So don't believe the lie that you can't access God's power or his presence or his purpose isn't for your life, because what you do matters when you do it with God, when you do what God asks you to do, no matter what it looks like. And it won't look like somebody else. It'll just look like what God asked you to do. The people were seeing things in the natural realm. They gave up because the temple they were building wasn't going to be as marvelous as the previous one, or because it felt hopeless, because everything was against them. But God was seeing things in the spiritual realm, and he knew the ultimate eternal result of what the people were building in this world, and that it would be bigger and more glorious than anything than they can imagine. Like, think about it. First was Solomon's temple. That gets destroyed. Now they're building another one. Well, this is like 536 B.C., now God knows everything. These people don't, but God knows everything. God knows what's coming. These people have heard prophecies of the Messiah. kind of wondered what that'd like, but they could not even really imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus comes on the scene, right? When we changed history, when even time, the way we keep track of it changed, and Jesus comes. This temple that they're building here in Haggai's time was destroyed in 70 AD, but the temple that Jesus made for all believers is eternal. It can never end because now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How much more glorious than the original plan? How much more beyond comprehension than the original plan? They couldn't even understand how glorious it was going to be, but because they believed God and trusted him, they got to be part of it. God reminds the people that this life is not all there is, and that ultimately everything they see will pass away. All of history will be rolled up for God's glory. The people were looking down at their tiny glory. They were comparing it to a better glory in the past, but God wanted them to remember that the best glory is still to come. Sometimes we get focused on or distracted by temporary man-made glory. But God reminds them through the prophet, forget about this building for a minute. You're getting distracted by what it's going to look like. You're getting distracted by the details. Just remember me. Remember who I am. Remember what I'm bringing about for you. I'm with you, even though you've disobeyed me. I'm with you, even though there is no temple. God saw their work differently. He knew that the new temple, what he was doing, would be even more glorious. It's really neat how in verse 6 and 7, how Haggai talks about how God is going to shake everything up. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry lands, the nations. It comes again later in the chapter, but it points us to God's final judgment. He warns his people that anything outside of his building project will be shaken and destroyed. Then God's chosen people, the treasured and desired of all nations, will come into the eternal temple of God in his new creation. And he is going to fill that place with his glory. The best is yet to come. Because it will be God himself, the Lamb in perfect relationship with his people. God has an eternal view on things. So much bigger than we can ever understand or see. He gives us little glimpses, but it's so much bigger. This life is not all there is. When you look at the things around you, it might seem weak. When you battle with sin or struggle with holiness, you might feel weak. You might have a horrible day and want to pack it all in, but don't give up. Don't give up because God loves you. And he's with you, and the best is yet to come. The same God who promised to be with the rebuilders of the temple promised us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Empires, armies, dynasties, governments, corporations, businesses, everything. It comes and it goes, but the church is still here. The church is still here. Against all odds, against all understanding, for 2,000 years, God's word has been preserved, his church has been preserved, and we are still here because God is unstoppable. He is unstoppable, and he has chosen to use each of you to build his church. Remember, he said it in Matthew 16. He's talking to Peter, and he says, on this rock of your faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They will not, because God is unstoppable. He's with us to the end of the age. So I challenge you, like Haggai challenged the people, don't give up. And don't think that what you do doesn't matter, because it really, really does. It really, really does. God sees things differently than people see them. He's proven it over and over again. Like, look at Jesus' birth. He's born to a little peasant girl in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. But it changed everything. God sees things differently. and we can look ahead to the future that God has promised. Look up, lift up your head and look to a great future where his glory will flood every tiny part of our reality. The future is definitely better than the past because God in all his glory is already there. So be strong and work, like Haggai said. And remember that he is with you by his Spirit. Remember that you build more than you see, and what you do matters. I remember a story there. I was reading about this lady who had cancer, and she had four children, and she was just crying on the floor of the room of her two-year-old one day because she thought to herself, I don't even remember being 2 years old. What if I die and my child doesn't even remember me? But when she had prayed, she was able to come to God and say, you know, even if my child doesn't remember me, the love that I have shown that child for 2 years, pouring into them, praying over them, showing them what life with God looks like, that makes a difference in who they are as a person. And they will feel the ripples of that through their life, even if they don't physically remember my face or who I am. And those are the ripples we get to leave through our life. I don't really care if people remember me, but I want them to remember Jesus. And I want them to remember Jesus' presence that I took everywhere that I went in my life. And I know you can do that too. Because in 20 trillion years, when you look around, people praising Jesus in glory, you will remember how you played a part in helping others follow Jesus. So don't give up. Be encouraged. Be strong and work, because it's well worth it. God's church will be the most glorious thing ever for all eternity. Amen. All right. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take 2 minutes. I just want us to be quiet for 2 minutes. We're going to listen to what God has to say to us. You can put this question number two up there. I want you to pray. And pray and think about what God is working in you. You may have heard this message differently, everyone in this room. But I want you to pray for the courage and commitment required to persevere in the work God has called you to for our church in this season here. Thank God that he's able to use you, a limited human with limited strength, for his unlimited kingdom and glory. So you're just going to be quiet and think about that with God. And then Pastor Wayne's going to lead us in prayer. And then we'll finish in our small groups where we'll pray for each other, these things over each other. All right? Let's take 2 minutes.
So God, we lift up your name this morning. And thank you that we can put all our trust in you. I want to put you in the place where you belong, Lord. Lord of my life this morning. I just feel really strongly this morning to pray for somebody here that has lost everything. Has experienced what it's like to lose everything and have to start over, losing anything of material importance, losing income, losing relationship. And God has you in a place where you're rebuilding, just like the people of Israel were rebuilding the temple. And some people wanted the glory of the former temple, which was amazingly beautiful. But God's put you in a place where it's not like that, but you feel you're in a place of surgery, and God's doing deep surgery on you, not just your body, but your emotions and things that are very, very intricate, but very important. And he's really helping you with your outlook to stay positive. But like we prayed earlier, God wants to give you joy this morning. God wants to give you hope and a future, and to keep building, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and God's going to take your brokenness and things that don't look pretty now, but he's going to turn them into beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statements of his glory and his grace. So if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. And I want you to tell your group as you pray in just a few seconds. I want you to get them to pray for you before God wants us in a place where we're in total reliance on him. So let that be encouragement to you today as not to be embarrassed that you lost everything, but be encouraged because the best is yet to come, and it's going to look different than before, but it's going to be more. It's going to be more than you ever hoped or you dreamed. Just rely on him this morning. Just rely on him this morning, for he's good. He's good, and he wants the best for you. He wants us to trust him. He wants every person in this room to trust him, not to trust in our possessions or our health or even our relationships, because those can go at any moment. But God is the one that stays. And God wants to show you how good he is and how a life that's invested and rooted in him can make a difference for you. So trust in him this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray for these people, Lord. Lord, these people, all of us here, Lord, we come to you in brokenness, Lord. Not in self preservation, but Lord, in reliance on you, Lord. It's all about you. So God, I pray for a blessing on this church, God, that we can be a church with open hands and open arms, not closed fists. Lord, we can be a church that's with arms up and surrender, not arms folded in defiance. God, we pray for attitudes that need to be changed in this place. Lord, I pray that there will be change happen, real change, in Jesus' precious name. For the best is yet to come. For the best is yet to come. Don't miss out on that this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.